السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله تعالى ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة، صدق الله العظيم. I begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most gracious, most merciful, and I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that His beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help, for His mercy, for His protection, for His sustenance. And we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst the successful ones both in this life and in the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. I recited a portion of a verse of the Holy Quran in which we are being reminded that it is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the best of all examples. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we all know, was set down as a guidance to mankind. He guided mankind in every way possible. And upon the completion of his task, he stood and asked the people, the Sahaba, the companions that were with him, if he had conveyed his message or not. He made them witnesses that he had performed the duty, he had completed the task that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent him for. If we look in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that among the many acts of ibadah that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, that the essence of all of this, if we gathered all of this and put it together in one container, in one bottle, in one box, we find that it was the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that were the most brightest that anyone could pick out. That if anyone remembered anything about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated others. Whether they were young children, members of his family, his wives, his companions, or anyone else that did not share his faith. But anyone that met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why in our faith, in our deen, in our religion, in the lifestyle that we have, in the lifestyle that many of us have because of birth, in the lifestyle that many have because of the lifestyle that we've adopted, being Muslims, the most important thing that we have in our life after our iman, our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our believing in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our manners. The way we deal with others. The akhlaq, the adab that we have. Right? The respect that we have for the sha'airullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whosoever respects, gives honor to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is of the piety of the heart, the God-fearance of the heart, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When an individual fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, technically you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are God-conscious. It's the consciousness of the heart that is found in the respect of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way we deal with ourselves, the way we deal with others, and then the way we deal with certain things. And that is what I wish to speak of today. the manners of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the manners of the masjid, the etiquette and the rules of going to the masjid, to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying we don't know these things. I'm just saying these things because they will serve as a reminder to myself first and to everyone else here. A reminder is always good. Sometimes we know and we just tend to forget some of these things sometimes. We need to realize that the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masjid, is the heartbeat of the Islamic society. It's the hangout, if we may use that term, for the Muslims. Unfortunately, we've confined our hanging out to the masjid to maybe once a week or twice a week or a few times a week. It's a hangout where we're supposed to hang out literally five times a day. Where we come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we wash ourselves. It's like a break. You know, we're at work, we look forward to a break. When we're at work and we have a lunch hour or we have... People usually look forward to a break where they can go to the bathroom, wash up a little, stretch a little, relax, you know, maybe answer or take a phone call and then go back to work refreshed. Right? Your time for salat, instead of it being a burden, is rather a break. Where you actually take that time off, go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a nice, clean, relaxing atmosphere. We use the bathroom, we perform wudu, we wash ourselves, and then we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take our mind off of all the things that our mind is engaged with. And for a moment we just relax. We relax, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think of nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes stronger. So we're supposed to utilize those moments, and it's literally a hangout. But there are certain things that I have sort of compiled that I wish to discuss today before we finish. Certain etiquette, certain manners of going to the masjid. That our going to the masjid becomes accepted in the eyesight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it's done in accordance to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when we go to the masjid, while we are at the masjid, and as we leave the masjid, as we leave the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have followed every footstep of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first one being, dua on the way to the masjid. It is actually narrated in some ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ that when the Prophet ﷺ used to travel to the masjid, on his way to the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ would be in dua. Right? Would invocate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason being is that the task that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to take, the task of prayer, the task of performing the salat, was a great task. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his way to the masjid, would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, "Oh Allah, while I'm going here, as I'm going here, give me the ability to benefit. Give me the ability to benefit by being there. Whether I'm listening to the khutbah, whether I'm performing my wudu as my sins are being washed, whether I'm praying my salat, whatever it is, give me the ability to benefit from this moment." That was the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he sallallahu alayhi, and obviously we know of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that for every footstep a person takes, a person gets rewarded. Right? For every footstep a person takes. And the point is not the footsteps. The point is the distance that is covered, the time it takes you to get there, is also considered to be an act of ibadah. So wherever you may be coming from work, from far away, from close by, on foot, in your car, you know, the light rail, the bus, whatever it is, that mode of transport that you use to get to the masjid, you're actually being rewarded for it. The more you struggle, the stronger your reward. The more you struggle, the more you strive, the greater your reward. Dua when we enter the masjid. This is something that we, you know, there's signs everywhere. This is something that people usually tend to forget. There's three things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person should do when they enter the masjid. Say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the dua of entering the masjid. And it's very simply taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the du'a, in the remembrance of Allah and the salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are taught to us in a very simple du'a: Bismillah, in the name of Allah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Bismillah, wa salat, in the name of Allah, salutations and greetings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Enter with your right foot and say, Allahumma ftahli abwaab rahmatik. Oh Allah, open for me the doors of your mercy. not the door of your mercy, rather the doors of your mercy. As we enter the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although for us it is a physical building, there's a lot of spirituality involved. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is involved. The forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something which is part of this. These are not things that you and I see. It's not something that you and I can actually see, that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending or our sins are being forgiven. It is something that happens. It is something that we understand. It is something that belongs to this life and to the life of the hereafter. Whether we understand it or not, it is something that happens. Hence we enter the masjid by reciting the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invocating blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then making the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And we enter with the right foot. We enter with the right foot. And I know I mentioned this here before, there used to be a brother who used to be with us, who is now no longer with us. I remember very well that on many occasions, as I used to sit here doing what I do right now, he used to come, and you can either consider this to be the door of the masjid, this entrance here, or the actual front door. Now the actual front door is the entrance to the masjid, so the dua should be recited there. But I remember very well that this brother used to come here, he used to stop, recite the dua, and then put his right foot inside the masjid first, and then enter the masjid. This is something that he did very regularly. He did it so regularly that I remember it very well. And so this is something that we should do. Enter the masjid in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught to us. Now as we enter the masjid, one of the things that we need to be conscious about is that we don't do, or we're not in a form where we may harm someone. Either knowingly harm them or unknowingly harm them. And that is when we are reminded of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say that when you enter the masjid, do not eat garlic or onions before you enter the masjid, because of the foul smell of it. Because of the foul smell of it. In fact, it's actually been narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he found smell of garlic and onion from a man in the masjid, he ordered that individual to be taken out. And then Umar radiallahu anhu added to that, that if you must eat them, then cook them well. In other words, don't let it smell. Now it's not only garlic and onion. The point here is, if there's anything that a person does due to which there is a foul smell, whether it's a person that smokes, you know, a lot of this falls in the same category, by the way, right? Smoking falls in the same category. Or perspiration, you know, you perspire. There's a lot of sweat, which is uncontrollable. In that case, if a person is conscious about that, if they are going to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they should try to the best of their ability. That also doesn't mean that a person shouldn't go to the masjid. Right? That's something which is natural. But to the best of their ability to make sure that they are in a state so that they don't harm others. That's also following a command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why if there is an individual that knows that they perspire a lot, then they should carry some perfume or whatever it is with them so that they can put it on themselves before they enter the masjid. By the way, this is something which is not very difficult to understand, because we are very conscious of this when we go to work. We are very conscious of this when we go to work. We make sure that we put on our cologne. We may carry an extra bottle of cologne in the car. We carry our mints or chewing gum with us so that our breath doesn't smell. So when we're at work, when we're in conferences, when we are in meetings, we're usually very conscious about these kinds of things. If we attend, and this is something that I've touched on before, especially when we go to certain meetings, we usually make sure that we wear the best of our clothing. But it's usually the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We save our jeans and old t-shirts and our sweatpants for the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's a really relaxed atmosphere and I really don't need to care about anything. So you just put on your old t-shirt and a pair of sweatpants and just go to the masjid. That's not the point. The point is we should be dressed in our best. We should be smelling our best. We should be looking our best when we enter the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially on the day of Friday, because if you remember, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically commanded the companions ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in to shower on Friday and bathe on Friday. And the reason being, I've mentioned this before, that the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, because they were living in the desert, and while they were in Medina, a lot of them were farmers and they used to be at their farms, it was very possible that they used to perspire a lot. And hence the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded them that before you go to the masjid on Friday, make sure you clean yourself, make sure you're in a state so that no one is harmed by you. When we go into the masjid, There are certain ahadith that are found in which it has been mentioned that when a person enters the masjid, they should say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. But it was during the later life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he sallallahu, and by the way, to a certain point where the Prophet sallallahu, it's been mentioned in the ahadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or some of the companions would actually, while they were praying, may even raise their hand to acknowledge the salam. But this was something that was done in the earlier times of Islam. During the later times, this was something that which was not in practice anymore. In fact, some of the ulama mentioned that one should not make salam while entering the masjid, because when you enter the masjid, there's many individuals that are praying. When a person hears your salam, it becomes an obligation for them to reply. And while they are in salat, they shouldn't be replying to you because they're conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, one should not make salam when entering the masjid. When one enters the masjid. So there's certain prerequisites. Now an individual has entered the masjid. An individual should not sit down until they have prayed some salat. Now in the case of, for example, Salatul Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, if there is a sunnah prayer that is associated with that salat, then a person can make that salat and it will be enough for that individual. Or if a person has already done their sunnah at home or wherever they may be, when they enter the masjid, they should pray 2 rak'ah before they sit down. They should enter, they should pray 2 rak'ah before they sit down. It is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is something that we totally have lost in our communities today. Now as we sit down in the masjid, instead of sitting around, looking around, talking around, we should be engaged in some kind of an ibadah, some kind of a worship. And the best form of worship while an individual is inside the masjid is reciting the Qur'an. Is reciting the Qur'an. While we sit in the masjid waiting for prayer, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us that a person waiting for salat is as if he is in salat. Right? That person is being rewarded for waiting for the next salat, whether it be 2 minutes, 5 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, whatever the time is. If that person is sitting inside the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waiting for the next salat, it is as if that individual is in salat. And so while we are in the masjid, instead of looking around, talking, whatever it is that we can do in other places, we should try to be in the dhikr, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most best form of dhikr is reciting the Holy Qur'an. Now if we are reciting the Qur'an, then we should do it in such a way that if there are others praying, we are not causing them distraction. Right? We are not causing distraction to individuals who are praying their salah. So our voices, they should be low. If you're sitting in the masjid by yourself, then it's fine. You can recite as loud as you want to. If there's an individual that enters the masjid and now begins to do some salah, then an individual should put lower their voice so that they don't distract other individuals. Whatever it is that we do inside the... Now, by the way, not everyone inside the masjid recites the Qur'an. You know, there are individuals who may be learning something, there may be individuals who are teaching something, and unfortunately there just may be some individuals who might be 2 or 3 brothers or sisters who just may be talking with each other. Whatever it is that you do, one should make sure, and this is a reminder for every single one of us, including myself, usually when the fard salawat are over, many a time we may see a friend or an acquaintance and we just start talking with them, not realizing that there are individuals who are still praying their salat inside the masjid. And so we should be very conscious about that fact, that we shouldn't do anything that causes distraction to an individual inside the salat. At the same time, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's actually been mentioned that one should not raise their voice while they're inside the masjid. Not raise your voice while you're inside the masjid. That's all it says. Don't raise your voice. Now just imagine being in a masjid, right? In the masjid, while there's some sort of a sermon going on, a lecture going on, a khutbah going on. It is even more important that in that state we don't raise our voices. As much as we may differ with an individual, as much as we may see something inside the masjid which harms us, which hurts us, we should keep our voices down. That is the adab of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned earlier, are amongst the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are from the sha'airullah. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. We have to keep this in mind. This is not a conference room. This is not a meeting place. This is not, like I mentioned earlier, it is a place of hangout, but it's not like you're hanging out at someone's home. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. there's certain manners and guidelines that must be followed regardless of what happens. And this, as I mentioned earlier, is a reminder first and foremost to myself and then everyone else. This is something that we must keep in mind. Raising voices is not allowed while someone is praying, whatever it may be. Another thing that we tend to forget, don't walk in front of someone while they are praying. If you see someone praying, go around them. If you see someone praying, go around them. Or place a barrier. Now that's something that is a practice that we do not have. You find this practice in a lot of countries back home, where if someone is praying their salat inside a masjid where there may be, it may be possible that someone may pass in front of them, they place a barrier in front of them. Whether it be a chair, whatever it may be, a bottle of water right in front of them, so that if a person walks through, then it's perfectly permissible. Then it is okay. But we should not walk in front of someone while they are praying. But this takes me a step back. We should not pray in a place where someone may actually walk in front of us. That's why there is actually a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that it's been mentioned, Imam Bukhari and Muslim both report that between the place of his prostration ﷺ and the wall, the front wall of Masjid al-Nabi, there was no room more than a sheep, that there was no room more than that a sheep could pass. In another hadith reported by Imam Bukhari, when the Prophet ﷺ used to pray, he left between him and the wall 3 arm lengths. And it's been mentioned, if you find people already at the wall of the Qibla, at the front of the masjid, then pray right behind one of them, because he will be a sutra, a barrier for you, like the companions used to do. Now usually, we've come to a point in our lives where we usually enter the masjid, and usually we start with the back. And if not the back, then with the center. We definitely don't want to go to the front. And there's so many hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which we are reminded that there's more rewards for those individuals who are in the front. But we should definitely try to go to the front of the masjid, whether it be on Friday or any other day. Do not begin your prayer in the center of the masjid. Do not begin. The worst one is when people begin their prayer at the back wall. And then there's people trying to leave. What are you supposed to do? How in the world are you supposed to leave the masjid? Another one, especially in our masjid here, is if you begin praying in this area. I've mentioned this before. If you begin praying in this area, when the brothers and the sisters, as we enter the masjid, we should walk as far to our left as possible. Because if we walk more in that direction, then the people who come in late can easily sit in this direction, and they won't be distracting others and going passing through others. When we come in on regular days, we should try to make sure that we don't begin our salat in the doorway. We don't begin our salat in the doorway, because it's very possible that someone may pass in front of you. And as the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned, that if you knew the sin, if an individual knew the sin of passing by someone while they were praying in front of them, then you would have waited for 40. You would have waited for 40. That's all the Prophet ﷺ says. Could have been 40 seconds, 40 minutes, 40 days, 40 months, or even 40 years. If you knew the amount of sin, you would have waited. And we find very common in our congregations, in our masajid, it's very normal to just pass by in front of someone. And we just justify by saying, well, I'm in a hurry, I've got to go to work. I'm in a hurry, I've got to go to work. This brother probably has all the time in the world. Right? That's how we justify it. It doesn't work that way. We should try to make sure that we stand in a place where we don't harm an individual, we don't pass by in front of them. And as well as those individuals who are praying, we should try to make sure that we don't begin our prayer in a place where someone may pass in front of us. At the same time, we should also sit where we find a place. It is contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to actually jump rows to make it to the front. When you go in the masjid, wherever there may be place, you should fill in that place. But it's also the responsibility of those individuals who come early to fill the rows in the front. Right? Fill the rows in the front. So that if there is a gap in the front, someone is compelled to fill that gap. Someone will be compelled to fill that gap, and they will actually jump the rows to fill that gap. And it's actually the responsibility of the individuals who are sitting around there to fill that gap, so when the people come in from the back, there's room right for them in the place where they have left off. As I mentioned earlier, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there should be no worldly talk. Keeping the masajid clean. It is our responsibility to keep the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean. If you see something on the ground, don't wait for the janitor to come and clean it. Don't wait for the responsible individuals to come. You see something dirty, pick it up and throw it in the garbage. If you have nothing to do at home and you have 5 spare minutes and you see something dirty, take a vacuum. The vacuum, we leave the vacuums outside. Pick up the vacuum and vacuum it. If you see that the bathroom is dirty, then please clean the bathrooms. It's a collective responsibility. It's the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's my responsibility just as much as it is for everyone else. You know, some people maybe they're responsible. It's a collective responsibility. We all have to do it. When we use the bathroom, and we don't need to mention this. You know, I was at a masjid yesterday, and I love the sign in the there's a sign that we've printed, prepared for the bathroom, which I've been meaning to print for a while and just haven't got around to doing so. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the brother who worked on it with me. But I came across a sign yesterday. It was a beautiful sign. It says, do whatever you do, but do it sitting down. Right? Do whatever you do, but do it sitting down. It's the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us be conscious of the fact that someone may follow us. You know, after we leave, someone's going to come in after us. And whatever it is that we do, we must make sure that the area is left clean. Because even if a drop falls on a person's clothing or on a person's body, becomes contaminated, our prayers will not be valid. So it becomes our responsibility as individuals to take care of the mess that we make and also make sure that it's clean enough for those individuals who come after us. And then also we should keep our masajid, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, free from all transactions and the announcements of lost things. If an individual has lost something, that announcement should not be made inside the masjid. Imam Tirmidhi and Nasa'i report that the Prophet ﷺ said, if you see someone selling or buying something inside the masjid, if you see someone selling or buying something inside the masjid, then tell that individual, may Allah not make your trading profitable. And if you see someone crying out inside the masjid something that he has lost, say to that individual, may Allah not restore it for you, for the masajid were not built for this. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, don't gang up on me after Salatul Jumu'ah. I don't want anyone ganging up on me after the prayer. It's a fact. It's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another adab of the masjid is once the adhan has been called, we shouldn't walk out the masjid. Once the adhan has been called and the call for prayer has been given, then we should wait until we complete that prayer and then leave the masjid, leave the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two last things before I finish. When we leave the masjid, we should leave with our left foot. We should leave with our left foot and recite the dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik wa rahmatik. Right. We should recite the dua before we leave the masjid. It's etiquette of the... manners that have been taught to us. When we do this, we will become better, cleaner and stronger individuals. And also one last thing before I finish. You know, a lot of us come to the masjid a little late. The imam has already begun his prayer. And then we hear the imam reciting the last ayah of the surah, lakum dinukum waliyadin, and the brother is about a half a mile away and he's just completed his wudu. What does he do? You know what happens in a marathon, right? That last stretch, they say, give it all you got. Give it all. That's what we do. Just to make sure we don't miss that rak'ah, we give it all we got, we bang the floors of the masjid and we run to catch the rak'ah. Our concentration is lost. That's not the idea. The idea is to walk comfortably, to make sure that we have our concentration, to make sure that we know what we are doing, and then calmly begin our salah. So that is something, these are just certain reminders that I thought I would mention. As I mentioned earlier, firstly for myself and then for everyone else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our matters easy for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove our tribulations and calamities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill all of our needs. And may He subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us in His protection all the time. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.